the idea of discernment, right? And that we should be discerning about the stories we hear, and because there is also a lot of cover and false memory, and some people look like they remember very too well their involvement in project, while it's actually, it can be quite hard to kind of recover and break through some programming, and it's rare that people talk about it with a frequency of truth, you know, and they are, and then if we consider that, you know, who is talking? Is this reals or is it backdrops and or clones? And have their memory been implanted? You know, sometimes they're serving an agenda where they are spreading a certain type of information. And yeah, we're being programmed by whatever we are in touch with. If we don't pay attention to the entanglement, even with alternative news, you know, or as long as we delegate, you know, we have these external programming being active, external authority programming. So it can rob us from some of our freedom to think, even the alternative ways. And there is a lot of disinformation there as well. I have one neighbor, he comes back late at 10 and he leaves at 9. And, you know, I have also family member where when I try to connect to their energy, you know, right now, for example, it feels like there's nothing, like it doesn't exist outside, you know, so that's gonna tell me, you know, whereas I have some friends who I know are real, and if I try to connect with their field, I can feel there is something that exists out there. I was in the woods that most trees, and then when I was trying to look at their aura, for a lot of them, it wasn't really like shining or spirited. So it's a good training of the mind to kind of keep on observing and every time noticing new things, right? I think that's how it goes. And you know, it helps also to pieces of the puzzle and more and kind of see more and more of what is real and what is not real. I think there are many different factions, and I have felt and sensed them. I sensed that there were many different things going on. And I think we're non-human too, because if you can see yourself or myself with a clairvoyant sight, you're going to see that we just in the human suits, but we have these future, these alien futures, like with the only the 3D we cannot really see. But I also have been reflecting, you know, because for example, in the past, I was also like this, you know, I helped some homeless people. I maybe wanted to pick up some hitchhikers, but then if you consider they're not real and they are in PC, you're might be losing your time or it might be just a distraction from what you really should be doing or you know, your good heart is sometimes used against you to kind of slow you down, or they also hook to your heart energy, and it's a kind of food too. So something to think about as well. A lot of things can happen, and it's very interesting. You know, I think all of our experiences are very, very personal, and just kind of, it's all about the expansion of the mind, right? I was thinking about that, you know, even when I, for example, when I traveled abroad, all that I keep as a substance is what happened to my mind. You know, it's all about that energy, you know, and also so that's what I came to as a conclusion, right? Like that handling, in fact, is a distraction. Everything is a distraction. Food is a distraction. Bad relationship, you know, anything to kind of keep us from a healthy relationship where you're actually building something, or your own relationship with yourself where you're creating, you know, from nothing. So, you know, that's why they try to get your mind busy with anything. And they also try for us never to feel validated or worthy. And that's also why they keep on engineering this. And they also harvest your energy through these relationships. Or you're feeling really wounded, you know, all of that is they get you triggered, you know, they get you switched into kind of states that are not really yourself, but, you know, they get you beyond your control, right? So, you know, I keep on realizing that sometimes we don't see reality as it is. You know, sometimes we embellish it. We want it, you know, we want to believe in some of the people we consider our friends. We want to believe that they have good intentions, and it's not always the case, right? So handling is playing at all different levels. You know, it can be just to influence you slightly. You know, if they cannot get fully in as they do when you have like a partner handler, they will still try to get in or annoy you, you know, just make you, you know, occupy your time for 1 hour of your day. You know, they really encourage us to stay in the 3D and not go beyond, to look for, you know, to also bring this higher dimension that we carry inside of us. And if we keep on working, some bits are being stolen away because we are distracted. You know, for example, today I woke up and there was like handling again, handlers from my past. And I woke up and I remember that in my dream time, I was feeling sad. You know, I remember experiencing this sadness. And I remember the experience felt very real, just as real as if I was experiencing sadness yesterday. And it's also feel like a long time, right? It feel like eternity has been going on in my dream with this sadness, for example. So, you know, it's been years that I write my dreams down. I don't write like a lot, but I write a few keywords, like just what I remember, because it's also being, you know, we quickly forget also if we don't write it down, or we're gonna go, you know, there is a lot we need to kind of be more aware, and there is a lot to learn, and just also becoming more lucid and also remembering bits of our dream time and distinguishing, because I had these dreams where, you know, I wake up and I know I was fooled, you know, I know, you know, it's like I wake up and the veil leaves and I have my today discernment, and with my today discernment, I know that I was tricked in my dream and handled, and that it was a handled dream. Like someday you wake up, you feel really drained and depressed, and you know, and the day before you did everything right, you know, for your self care. So there is always like something going on, and other days it's okay, you know, okay, there are the collective energies, but it's also very linked to, I also noticed that when I ask assistance before sleeping, you know, like we can ask for healing, we can ask for, I ask for, you know, advice or guidance, and sometimes I wake up the next day and I'm very clear, you know, if some programming was triggered the day before, it's like I've been repaired or I've been shown like that, okay, it was pure programming being activated, and I should not worry or be confused about certain thing. And so I think, yeah, I mean, it's all about doing our best to be conscious and present with everything, and then piecing it out all together. Some people are more overtaken than others, and then it depends which type of AI, you know, there are some more positive or some more negative, some are more like neutral. So I've been aware of some reels that are more AI component than others, for sure. But themselves, they are not fully aware that they are mainly driven by AI. So I think that what we want also is to strengthen that connection to spirit and the fire creation. And because from there is infinite possibilities. And then AI for me is like a downgrade, and it's a bit more of a limited option. But yeah, I mean, we are influenced by AI immensely. And I think we've been programmed beyond our knowing. So of course we've been programmed in our families, in school, and with the program being reinforced by the entertainment industry and the symbolism and so on. But I think we've also been programmed into operation we have no recollection of, you know, both physically and also it's a consciousness thing, and also in dream time, because you can be heavily reprogrammed by your dream time and waking up like a zombie. And for that, they also use access during daytime. So all access that we kind of let things get in, then we pay it also when we sleep, and we can wake up and be a zombie for 1 week if they could get in at some point. If you're real, you have multiple personality disorder, whether you're aware of it or not. Some people are more aware of it. You know, all the people with experiencing satanic ritual abuse, usually they are aware because they have like clearly missing time and things like this. But you can be also not so aware. And that was my case, but I have also some missing time. I have alters. So what they do is that they also use your alters against you, or you have cult loyal parts, and these parts can make you, or they can either remotely trigger you to be sleepy, or they can also program your alters to sabotage you and to not do certain thing, right? To be suddenly tired, because I noticed that some alters will collaborate to your own drugging. I think it's also a frequency thing, right? Because usually it's like tainted with suffering, but I mean they also hide animal flesh in many different processed food, you know, and they also curse and poison your food even if it's organic and vegan, you know, so you're really. They poison everything and curse it. So, you know, it makes it harder to break free from your mind control also. So I think with flesh, it's more like also a frequency thing. And of course, yes, there is some consent being given. But then also, what do you do if you have like pets who eat, who are carnivores? You know, it's pure meat. So they are carnivores cats. So with dogs, you can still have a lot of like vegetables and fruits, but with cats, it's not gonna work. But I find it difficult because one of my cat is allergic to chicken, but that's the only thing that she agrees to eat. So I need to also find an answer there. But their food is poison too. So their food is being cursed too, because it's being produced by NPC and backdrops. And of course, it's never going to be clean. And I think I was wondering, can you ever get a clean meat? You cannot really. Of course, it's going to be cursed and poisoned because it's because of the ritual taking place there. So I'm not sure you will ever get any reels also working in the meat industry. You know, it's everyone I've been, you know, getting meat from in Belgium were NPCs. They were not real. They were not spirited. So their products are easily corrupted. They, you know, it's going to be a simulation frequency anyway. It's never going to be a kind of real one. So, but it's also very hard to find good fruits and vegetables, you know, good water or good coconut water or all of that. And it's getting hijacked somewhere on the way. So because the guilt is also a harvest, you know, it's when you're in these states, that's where they want to put you also. So the guilt state doesn't serve us, right? So I think what's important is to keep a goal like in mind and to work ourselves to it. And for now, you know, when you have this awareness, but you need a bit of time to kind of get yourself there. So I think it's all a process, and then it's important not to forget, but to kind of make the efforts. And it sometimes it's not a clear cut, right? You're not able to cut something overnight, so it's gonna take maybe a few months or you know, I think with food we also need to find a lot of replacement, right? Things that we are happy to eat and happy to introduce, so it doesn't feel like it's empty or we have to really give up. We can just switch, like put an alternative, and I feel that way it's much easier with the brain and it doesn't trigger like these fear programming. It's fear mongering with the simple sugars from fruit, but actually that's the easier thing we can digest. So yes, there are many different operations with that. And they also try to scare people away with, you know, for candida protocols. But what we I find it's much more tricky with complex sugars. So like chickpeas or, you know, even some starchy vegetables like sweet potato or things like that. So I find much more problem with that than with fruits. You know, everybody, you know, all species eat fruits, you know, even wolves, they eat berries, and that stays 30 minutes in your stomach, then it's easily digested. Usually it should be out in 24 hours, whereas meat, it's much more complex, it's denser, then you have different things with different, you have lighter meat and denser meat, but it takes much, it costs you energy of digesting, and then when you're doing that, you know, you don't have the space to do other things. So I feel it mainly makes us tired sometimes, but yeah, there is a lot of fear mongering to keep us away from the things that are good for us. It's all inversion. So if they tell you something is not good for you, but it's probably good generally, right? Grapes, watermelon, the citrus fruit, these are the most detoxifying, you know. Ginger also can work well, things like that. Then banana, for example, is not like, it's more like a rebuilder, right? Because we can feel it in the texture, that it's like it has less water, you know, but every fruit, they have their good things, you know, antioxidant, vitamins, some specific things. We can eat as many fruits as we want without any guilt, you know, like they're not gonna tell you that, but it happens to me. But it's also the frequency of fruits is also quite high, you know, and berries are actually extremely great for the nerves, and so they're great for the brain and to kind of help us heal brain damage. So they are really potent also as detoxifiers. It's a problem with like eating out, you know, sometimes they put things we're not fully aware, especially the oils, you know, and they often cook with cheap oils, and that's like interesting, because when I broke some fast, you know, some liquid fast, and I ate out, then I would feel my head swelling, or, you know, I wasn't sure what they put it. So I, you know, you it's interesting. And, you know, you can always add lemon on anything you eat, and lemons are really potent, right? So they've been liquid, and then I introduced some dry fasting in them, but my longest dry fast, I've never tried longer than 3 days. I can go easily 36 hours, but I also can easily lose the habits and be kind of lazy with it. And then you kind of get off the wagon, and then you kind of need to pull yourself back. And then it's easy to put it every week, you know, if you are like on a fixed day, like every Thursday, for example. But you can also easily not do it. So I've done long. I actually do much better when I'm on liquid food. You know, you consume all your nutrients, but in a liquid form. They're fresh, they're raw, and my body's always, you know, I have higher energy. Everything's good. You know, I'm less tired. So it's actually a way that fit me well, because I have a lot of chronic issues. So, you know, I've got a lot of work, and I've done at least 10 different liquid fasts, and still there is so much work still to do. So it's really a lifelong journey, especially if you've got a lot of chronic lymph where everything's quite stagnant and you really need to get everything moving. And at first you have no energy, you know, and when you quit stimulant, you know, it's hard also because you don't have a lot of energy, so you kind of need to transition and then get used to your actual level of energy without all these up and downs and roller coaster, and it takes a while. And but then I feel you feel much more everything that enters your field, enters your body. You also notice better what food does to you. You know, maybe you also notice that you are actually allergic to some food, or that they don't do you so well. So I find it's really also you explore a lot when you do that. Yeah, they have lots of things. They also have these kind of cleanse where you actually drink things and then they kind of solidify. It's a little bit like psyllium, and then they kind of can take a bit out of the plaque. But the thing is that they often kind of put in front protein, and protein are usually arming us in the long run, right? So I saw a lot of change when I went for a low protein way of eating, and for me protein were not doing me good, and I was having in the past like raw fish and, you know, raw eggs or things like that, but I do much better now, and I can train, you know, and if I train, I build muscles from the amino acids from what I consume, and it's going well like this. So you know, usually you kind of risk it if you go too much on the protein side of things. I think everyone see major result from changing what appears to be a detail, like like big steps, like, you know, cutting sugars, you know, refined sugars, or cutting gluten, or cutting coffee, you know, or cutting cheese. And I think it's good to do one at a time and then get used to it. And that's also what I've been doing, you know, and I've been actually changing my food a bit since I'm 18. So, you know, it's been a while, and it's a journey, I think, for everyone. And I think it's your spirit that's gonna tell you what's the next step, and then you know you're curious to explore, and you say, okay, I'm gonna challenge. It's also always about challenging ourselves a little bit, you know, but not too much, and then integrating the emotions, because food is very emotion related. So there are also lots of rewards. So it's a very rewarding path, you know, and I think I could not really understand before. You know, doing it for myself, and then you learn a lot about your own body, and your body respond more, it becomes less numb, so you can, I feel it's magnificent, you know. And then actually you can notice that your arm gonna cross or things like this, your body language gonna speak for you sometimes. I noticed that sometimes about myself, that, you know, if I have to stay in the space, I kind of put like an energetic barrier. I don't have so many examples, but I have one example where I smell sulfur, you know, and it was linked to an entity. Actually, I was on a call, and I it was coming from the other person. It was like an insight that was giving to me to kind of make me aware that there was something kind of dark. So I smell sulfur. What happens if, like, there is a Christmas tree on the card, and, you know, it's linked to the ritual holidays, you know, or you know, I found an old card sent by my mother to another family member. It was not to me, but there was like a strange duck, like it was a drawing, and it really was super creepy. I threw it away, you know, I love my mom, but that's an ugly, really creepy card. It's a process I've been starting, but I've been kind of stopping along the way. And I also kind of deleted a lot of digital picture, you know, digital photos, you know, just some that were not linked to good memories, or, you know, even a picture that you keep in your folder of image, you know, you know, even if it's research and you keep like a pentacle in your folder, still kind of a symbol that is there. One, maybe more, but one episode of sleep paralysis, it was after seeing a friend handler. So she wasn't. So I was wondering also, does it count that I gave kind of consent and agreement the day before for that thing to happen? And I felt that there was like an entity or something foreign in the room, like kind of, I actually felt it on my throat, like it was paralyzing me from my throat. But it actually happened another time after, but it was way quicker to kind of break from the paralysis. So these are really, we usually remember these things that happens to us. So I have some missing time, but I think in that case, it was more like with me being switched into an altar, and I was probably like fully switched. I was also sometimes co-conscious with another part expressing. But I was co-conscious, so I remember. But I have a few episodes of missing time, not a lot, like that I've been identifying, you know. Once I was like a in 2019, I was like in a training where they were guiding us into doing certain gestures with our hands, you know, like posture and, you know, bowing and also triangle with our hands. And the same day that we did that exercise, I got like a huge possibilities of earning money. It's like poo poo poo, like four at the same time. So I knew that we were linking with entities, and that they were kind of bringing these like financial rewards. And I also cut from these guides, and people who were doing the training felt, you know, the need to uncord. But it actually took a few months to kind of uncord from all that had been happening back then. But that was a part, you know, where doing certain gestures, certain ritual, putting things in a certain order, you are making dark associations. And if you are like me, you kind of gonna be kind of slap in the face and kind of brought back to, you know, call back to order by your own spirit also. You know, maybe in other times it was much different, right? I always felt like in some ways I don't have a big choice, you know, like if I go on the dark side, like on the dark path, I'm always being slapped like quite violently, like you have no right to do that. Like it's like I have no choice but to kind of keep on you know, working on deprogramming severely, and that it's like it's not even possible in this lifetime that even if I wanted to explore darkness, it would kick me my ass so bad that, so it's like, okay, yeah, I've been wondering, like, is it set in stone for a lifetime who you're gonna be? Because I know that, or you know, that I've been exploring other side, maybe more of the darkness side. So why not in this? I've been asking myself, is it because it's the end game, like they call it, or why is it so that in this right now, you know, I am who I am?